Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of AV Insider. As always, I'm your host, Johnny Mutta. Or at least last time I checked, that's who I was. And today, I still feel like I am that person. Bringing you the show on Rave Radio. As always, I have a special guest with a special technology device or devices changing the world that we live in. Because we don't live in the past, we live in the future. And I'm going to share that information, but prior to doing so, as always, I'd like to thank the sponsor who keeps the lights going in this Northern California cloud that I call home. Ingram Micro. They are the world's largest technology distributor, delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. If you head over to ingrammicro.com, you can find some of my previous guests who I will not tell you about. I may just force you to listen to some of my previous episodes, or you can bypass all of that and go direct to ingrammicro.com and see who they are. Take some notes. You're probably selling some already using them, but you didn't know that you could get them at ingrammicro.com. Head over there and see what they have to offer for you. And as I mentioned, my special guest today is Dean Rosenblum, who is the founder and head cheerleader at Above Power Solutions. Dean, good morning. Thank you for your time today.
Johnny, I am honored to be with you on this beautiful Saturday morning.
Well, thank you much, sir. I'm glad to learn about you, the company, your product solution or solutions, depending on where we go with this conversation. I'd love to learn more, and that's why I've asked you to speak with me about all these things. But before we even talk about the company and the product and the offering, let's learn a little bit about you. I like to learn about my guests prior to talking about where they currently are in this moment in time. What brought you to where you are now? What's in your past prior to Above Power Solutions? Were you in the technology industry? Did manufacturing? What's your background like?
So actually, I have had three professional lives so far. The first started out as a chef. I went to culinary school right out of high school and worked in the food business for about 12 years before going back to college way later in life to complete my undergraduate degree in hospitality management. And immediately after hospitality school, I went straight to business school and had the amazing good fortune of being accepted to the MBA program at the University of Chicago, which is just absurd. I found a world that that was not only amazing to be granted access to, but one that fit really well with who I was and what my strengths were. At Chicago, I focused on strategy, finance, and entrepreneurship, and immediately after graduation, joined Bain & Company in their Chicago office, where I spent 4 years as a consultant. And after we had our second child, I realized that strategy consulting was not the perfect lifestyle fit, and I moved into a corporate strategy role with a branch of the Pepsi system called the Pepsi Bottling Group, which was based in New York. And I spent 6 years there working with the leadership team to essentially drive what the company's mission was around profitable growth. Spent about 6 years there. And then in 2012, I left after a very large leadership change when Pepsi actually reacquired the bottling group. And this is where it sort of dovetails to the story of Above Power Solutions. During the period after I left Pepsi, I just had an enormous burst of creative energy, including filing several patent applications for ideas that just occurred to me, literally. And subsequent to that, three of those ideas have issued as patents. One other is pending, and we just filed a bunch of design patents on the Volt Tower, which we'll talk about in a minute. It's just amazing to think that, you know, from an idea that literally occurred to me on an evening in my bedroom that turned into a patent, actually two patents, which is now turned into a thing which we're now trying to introduce to the world. The patent process took a couple of years, during which time I spent some time working for Aramark in Philadelphia, a large contract food and facility services company. And in March of 2015, so coming up on a year ago, I left my corporate life to focus full-time on developing the idea into a thing, and now turning the thing into a product and a business that hopefully will have a long, happy future, providing cool things to consumers and businesses.
And that brings us to today. Above Power Solutions introduces the Volt Tower. What exactly is the Volt Tower?
So the Volt Tower in its simplest form is Earth's first and only height-adjustable power station. The idea is remarkably simple, actually. I was crawling around on the floor in my bedroom one night looking for the cord to my phone, plugged into, as so many of us do, and the cord was plugged into a power strip that lay on the floor between my bed and my nightstand. And I said, and I made this crawl every night. And I said to my wife, this is insane. This is crazy. How is it that there's not a power strip that just comes up when you need it? You can plug your stuff in. And when you're done, you can just lower it down out of sight and it's not a permanent part of the clutter. That's the idea in a nutshell.
Great idea.
Over the last 12 months, I've had the opportunity to work with an absolutely amazing team of people at a group called the Bressler Group. It's an industrial design and engineering firm. They describe themselves as a product innovation lab. To take this idea and turn it into really a truly remarkable product. So the Volt Tower is a height-adjustable power station, which is incredibly cool and super high quality. It has a robust and really thoughtfully integrated power supply for up to 10 devices. And it's also really smartly and thoughtfully configured so that it fits seamlessly into your world. So you can place the Volt Tower behind furniture, between furniture. It can be freestanding. We have cord routing slots so you can not have to have the cord wrap around the base. And really, it delivers two huge benefits, right? The first is it helps people eliminate the clutter, particularly the clutter of extension cords and power strips. And second, it brings the power up and lets people eliminate the cord crawl. And it does so in an incredibly cool, thoughtfully designed, super high-quality package that we think really enhance people's lives, not just by solving the problems of clutter and the cord crawl, but also as something that's from a design perspective, an aesthetically very pleasing and tactilely pleasing product. So that's the Volt Tower. And let me just be just highlight a little bit about the power's capacity.
Okay.
So I mentioned it's 10 devices capacity.
Yes.
There are four outlets down low,
all right,
two on each side. And the idea of those is really that those would be for stuff that you don't necessarily plug and unplug all the time. Things like your lamp, your clock, the docking station, your computer perhaps. And then on the top of the Volt Tower, there's two more electrical outlets and also four fast charge USB slots. So not only can you plug your stuff in and do so without crawling around on the floor, you can get rid of the charging brick as well. So it cleans up clutter, both in terms of cords and tangle and mess, but it also gets rid of the charging brick, which, as we all know, is just, you know, a fairly annoying accessory.
Right.
Right.
Let me ask you a few questions about the tower itself or the outlets. While this has nothing to do code-wise with your device, this is in building codes where they're asking for tamper-resistant plugs and things like that, at least where I live in California. Are any of these devices tamper-resistant for children, things like that?
So the short answer is no.
Okay.
There's lots of things that we can do once we move into production to augment the design,
sure,
to accommodate things like tamper resistance and other outlet configurations, et cetera.
Yeah.
The core design is just sort of a really robust power solution, but mm-hmm. No, it doesn't have the tamper resistance.
Okay. And the plugs themselves are, I'm guessing, 15 amp, probably not 20 amp?
So the... You know what? I don't know the answer to that question. I think that the outlets are consistent with whatever the amperage of the plug that it's plugged into.
Okay.
And most household outlets are run, in the U.S. anyway, are run at 110 volt, 15 amp.
Yeah, generally, unless we're talking about commercial or something like that. So I was just curious if internally they were, maybe some were, could possibly set at 20 amp, but I don't know where you would use a solution like this that would require 20 amp draw. Maybe on a larger high current. I'm thinking from the audio side, you know, maybe amplifiers or something like that, but that would be a high capacity amplifier or something. Next question is, so visually, if I went over to above.com, which is abov.com, that'll take me to your website, your landing page, and you show you the Volt Tower first and foremost. It looks like a piece or two pieces of extruded aluminum that slide one within the other for adjustment height. You have your outlets at the bottom, outlets at the top, and some USB configurations. And I'm assuming, are all the USB ones, look like there's four, are they all the same power draw or output capacity? Are some set, you know, less amperage draw for maybe smartphone versus tablet versus something else with the higher quick charging device method?
So all of the USB slots are 5 volt 2.4 amp output.
Okay.
So what generally is referred to as fast charge. So it's plenty of power, obviously, for a phone or an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, charge efficiently and effectively. I will point out, though, there is a power standard out now that's been called things like adaptive fast charge. It's available now with, like, the Samsung S6 and others, where there's a dual-mode charging. The charging brick itself can put power out at either 9 volt or 5. That technology, I believe, is owned by Nokia,
okay.
I think. And it's very expensive to license, one, and two, it's very thinly relevant right now. So we opted for a much more mature and relevant technology solution on the USB side. So there's one power supply that feeds all four USB slots, and the USB output is 5 volt 2.4 amp, which gives people plenty of charge, whether it be for a mobile phone, an e-reader, or a tablet.
Now, do you know if they are USB 2 or USB 3.0 standard that is built into yours, or?
So that's a question that we get a lot. And let me highlight this: the difference between the USB 2 and the USB 3 relates more to data transfer and data transfer protocol, and also the number of pins, than it does to the actual outlet itself. Given that our device is a solution not for data transfer, but rather for power, the device is perfectly compatible with plugs that are both USB 2 and USB 3, and not just 3.0, but also 3.1 or 3.x.
Great answer. You passed my first trick question. You win
Yay!
A prize to be determined later. I do not know what that is yet.
that's a question we get a lot. In fact, there was somebody posted on Reddit asking that question, and I pinged them offline to just say, hey, you know, the 2.0 versus 3.0 is really a data transfer protocol.
Sure.
Not really a power protocol.
Okay. All good information, so thank you for that. Now, the way this stands right now, what's my adjustable height? You talked about, you know, okay, I'm laying in bed, I can plug stuff in, lower it down so it's out of sight, so it's not just blatantly, you know, just sticking up like it's a permanent fixture. It can be hidden from sight, but still plugging in my devices, so I don't have to crawl on the ground and things like that. What is the height range that this operates at?
So the short answer is the height range is between 25 and 36 inches.
Okay.
And the way that we arrived at that height range was actually by looking at the world and looking at furniture that people have.
Yeah.
And our goal was to have a height range that works for at minimum 80 and ideally 90% of the types of furniture that people would use this thing around or near.
Sure.
So when you think about those bullseye sort of applications, clearly the between or near the bed and the nightstand, the family room seating, a hall table, a desk at an office, those are all sort of in the 24 to 36 inch range. You know, notwithstanding the tails of the distribution.
Yeah.
So this height range is really intended to be well suited for any of the position at the placement applications that we just talked about. Again, the nightstand, bedroom, the family room seating, hall table, desk, and of course freestanding as well.
Now, I think we should talk about, because this is a quote unquote power strip, or a better version of the power strip, I should say. What type, if any, surge suppression is built into your device?
So there's actually two forms of protection. The first is that the device itself is outfitted with a three-pin plug. So it's intended for use with a grounded outlet. And the device will tell you whether the outlet into which the device is plugged is properly grounded using a low lumen LED light. So a small red LED light on the bottom of the tower glows red when the outlet into which the device is plugged is properly grounded.
Okay.
And just as an aside, I had a charger that had a blue LED light, a really small blue LED light on it that told you that it was properly drawing power. And if you shut all the lights off in the room, it glowed like this eerie blue. So we were very, very conscious of not creating indicator lights that like cause your whole room to glow weird colors. It's an indicator light that you can definitely see, but it's very low lumen. The lens on it is actually a bit opaque, so it doesn't, you know, cause your room to glow. So that's first. So we have the power grounding, which again indicates the outlet's properly grounded. The second feature is, and this is super important, is surge protection. So we have an 1800 joule MOV surge protector built in for all of the power goes through the MOV before it goes to any of the outlets or the power supply for the USB. And that is a lot of surge protection. For your listeners who may not be familiar, joules are a measure of total electrical energy. And the MOV, the power surge absorption unit, if you will, has the capacity to absorb over time up to 1,800 joules of surge protection. One joule is 1 × 10^26 volts. So if you think, oh, I get shocked with 50,000 volts or 100,000 volts of electricity, that the MOV that we have, the surge protection that we have, has 10 to the 18th more surge protection absorption capacity than, you know, you would think about, 100,000 volts. So it's really robust in terms of the surge protection and the expected useful life of the surge protection, its ability to protect your devices over time.
And with MOV surge protection, or what is that, metal oxide varistors or
That's right.
Works with capacitors and such, right? Where it takes the power and it separates it into capacitor and basically kills off the load, essentially, or the surge, correct? Where it stores it and just lives there, essentially.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you could think of it as a pressure. Like, if you use water as a metaphor for electricity, you could think of it as a pressure relief valve. So imagine that the circuit that runs through the tower is not electricity, but rather water. And as long as the water pressure that's moving in through the inside, the in-port, if you will, of the device is at normal levels, it simply flows through the device as it should, unimpeded. However, if the pressure of the water all of a sudden increases to a level that's unsafe for everything that's attached to the water outputs of the device, right? The surge protector actually stops the current from flowing up through the device and diverts it through the surge protection and back out through the return back to the power supply, completing the loop. So it actually prevents your devices from ever seeing that surge in electrical power, or to use the water pressure metaphor, the surge in water pressure, which could cause, you know, all kinds of damage to your stuff.
Right. And I think that's something that's important to note within homes or devices or AV or anywhere, that surges in homes and buildings are often susceptible to all types of surges. It's just common with our power because we don't live on the quote unquote grid yet, where power is clean and free. In the world of Nikola Tesla, where he wanted free wireless clean energy, we don't live there yet. So there is lots of quote unquote dirty power and surges, and it happens more often than people would think. So a lot of the traditional style power strips out there aren't great. They do a good job of sorts, but there's a lot of just standard stuff that just kind of, quote unquote, gets the job done, if you will. And protecting, cleaning power and protecting it and things like that isn't really the most prettiest conversation, I guess, for people to have. And when I talk about, you know, protecting electronic equipment at home or on AV devices, even your smartphone, people are like, yeah, I'm fine. I don't care. I'm just going to plug it in. I'm done. I'm like, okay, well, the device you're plugging in, I'm sure was not cheap. So when it burns eventually, or there's a surge, you're going to be a little upset. I just remember I tried to warn you. At least that's the conversation in a simple form. So it is important what your device is creating is a solution A, one, for the surge suppression, which is an important conversation. Two, the ability to get to it without having to crawl around your night on the floor every night just to get to plug your phone in or whatever it is, other devices in this case. It is a great solution. It looks nice. Now, back to the look of it, though. Is it only available in a single finish? It looks like a kind of a raw aluminum finish, maybe, or a brushed aluminum, if you will.
Yeah, so the short answer is it's available in three color combinations.
Okay.
And before I talk about the color combinations, let me just talk about the casings themselves and sure. how they're produced, right?
Sure.
So it's important, I think, for your listeners to understand that I am not a guy who wants to add to the landfill fodder of our planet, right? There is so much junk out there. I look around my house. I look around my offices that I've worked in. There's so much junk and clutter that just ends up in landfills, plastic and circuitry and all sorts. So it was really important for me that we make a product that was going to have a very long and productive and useful life in the homes and lives of whoever decided to avail themselves of it, right?
Okay.
So super high quality was critically important to me. I wanted something that was going to last a long time. Now, we're early as a company. My aspiration is, 10-year warranty. I can't say that publicly because we have to go through certification reliability testing, et cetera. Sure. But that's my goal, right? Minimum 10-year warranty. Okay. So what does that mean? So it means that we needed something that was going to be both structurally robust and also robust in terms of its componentry and power supply. So the casings for this thing are made from solid aluminum. For those metal geeks out there, it's a 6063 alloy aluminum.
Ooh.
It starts with a solid, what's called a billet. It's a cylinder of aluminum that's about 24 inches long and 10 inches in diameter, which is heated to 1,000 degrees. It's then extruded through a die, which forms the profile of the casings. And there's two different extrusions, an inner or lower, and an upper the lower is the outer. So there's a lower and an upper casing. From there, these 250-foot lengths of aluminum extrusion then get cut to length and CNC machined for the ports where the outlets go, where the handle for the raising and lowering goes. And actually, the inner extrusion also has a channel for all of the mounting hardware for all of the internal components. Now we have a beautiful part, but it's raw aluminum. From there, the casings are bead blasted by hand. And then finally, the casings are anodized. And we have two different anodized finishes, a black and a silver, which is really a clear anodize. And then the final touch is actually that the logo of the product is laser etched into the casing as the final step after anodizing. So it's really, like in terms of like one of those how it's made things, it's really kind of an amazing process. And your listeners can check that out on the Kickstarter video. If anybody wants more information, feel free to email me or what have you. So to answer your question about the color, we have two colors in the casings themselves. And of those, we're creating three versions, color versions of the product. There's the all black, there's the all silver, and then there's the black over silver. So essentially a two-tone where the lower casing is the silver casing and the upper is the black. And the casings themselves are, they're almost velvety. They're because of the bead blast that precedes the anodizing, and then the anodizing, they're just very, they're tactilely very satisfying to experience. The other thing about the product is that the all of the other parts are super precision engineered so that the fit, the feel, the finish is very, very precise. And it just leads all around to a really sort of high quality, elegant, cool product. And then one other thing for your listeners, I'm sure you saw, Johnny, is that the casings themselves, the profile of the casings is essentially an elongated diamond shape.
Correct.
Which creates this aesthetic from a design perspective that the tower itself, while it's tall And it is, it's 2 inches front to back and about 6 inches wide at its widest point. But because of the diamond profile that we adopted for the design, it actually has a very sleek, slim, elegant, streamlined look. It's really, I'm so grateful to and so proud of the work that the designers did on this. It's really an amazing product.
It is beautiful, and I have a few notes that I want to touch on the material and the aesthetics. But before I do so, as I mentioned earlier, I would like to thank my sponsor because they do keep this Northern California cloud I call home lit every day. IngramMicro.com. If you head over to Ingram Micro, you can find out some of my previous guests who have been there. I'll give you one. One of them was Sennheiser. You can head over to IngramMicro.com and find out some of the product solutions they have for you as an integrator, a homeowner, or someone looking to advance your technology solutions. IngramMicro.com. Good.
Can I thank Ingram Micro too?
Yes, please.
Hey, Ingram Micro, thank you so much, guys. This is awesome.
Now, you mentioned that your product is made of 6063 aluminum. And I would like to note that that is a really good grade of aluminum. I will just make a note here that Boeing Airlines and our government uses aircraft grade aluminum of 6061 in 2011 for certain landing gear parts of their aircrafts. How do I know that? Well, it's not really important how I know that. I just do, coming from the manufacturing side of the world. That is one of the pieces that they choose. And that's a lot of stuff that I've used for extruded parts myself. So, taking that into consideration, I know what the material grade of what you're using in your product is. And looking at it, it does look very aesthetically pleasing. It's not just a basic square. It's not a rectangle. It's not a box. It is very, very nice looking. It's a diamond. It does look like a satiny velvet feel. You know, the anodized looks great. Just overall pleasing. You know, obviously it does stand, you know, you said 24 inches to 30 or 36 inches? 36?
It's actually, so fully retracted, it's 25 inches.
25.
And fully extended, it's 36.
25 to 36 inches, which, like you said, you sound like you thought about this quite a bit. You could be sitting in a chair. You could be right down below the arm. You could be raised up to a higher level for a table, a bed, I'm thinking, are probably the more common areas, bed, couches, seating areas. That being said, where are other areas that you would see your device being used? I'm coming from the audio-video integration, boardroom side, smart homes, things like that. We've mentioned seating areas, bedroom areas. However, I could see uses for things like this possibly maybe in a modular setup or add-on scenarios where, you know, I need a different plug, a different sort of cabling pass-through, perhaps. I don't know. I'm trying to think of, you know, is this something that you could reach out to the pro side of the world, aside just general power plugins that you would see professionals out there using versus just kind of plugging in stuff and hiding away?
So let me give you just two anecdotes. I wouldn't characterize them as data so much as, you know, food for thought.
Okay.
We have a pro studio here near where I live in Mount Holly. It's called Blue Light Digital. And my kids, my two older kids, 13 and 10, do an after-school program there because they're really into music and stuff. And the guys who own and run that studio couldn't possibly be more excited about this thing. You know, think about their world. Every single device that they have needs to be plugged in one way or another. So that studio, in addition to be a tangled mess, well, it's not a mess, it's immaculate. But in addition to be, you know, completely filled with all of the audio cabling, there's also a ton of power cabling as well. And it's really helpful for them to have this device where they can plug in the stuff that doesn't get plugged in and unplugged all the time, you know, the local mixing boards, what have you, mm-hmm. but also the quick plugs for you know, the amp that they need here or the iPad that they need there. It's incredibly helpful for them. And the fact that it comes up off the ground, hugely helpful, right? The second anecdote, and then I have one more, is the people who are really into home AV systems have this problem a lot, right? So they'll want to add a component for a period of time and, you know, all the power is sort of tucked behind. They want it to be neat. which this device does, but it also gives you the extra boost of having the access to the power up top. Plus the fact that it's just totally cool looking. It really does, whether it goes black with all the typically black componentry or the anodized clear, which is that brushed silver, it's beautiful and it's really complementary to even the most high-end home setups. The third piece that was amazing to me that I heard, obviously there's the whole sort of office application, waiting rooms, hotel rooms, etc.
Yeah.
But the one that really struck me emotionally, Johnny, was a woman who I worked with at Aramark said, I need to get one of these for my grandmother. She said, my grandmother is 74 years old. She is totally plugged in, but physically she's not in the best shape. And she has a computer and an iPad and an iPhone, and she loves her stuff, but she has no place to plug it in. So she's got like a power strip on her nightstand, and it's just a mess. She said, this is perfect for her. And that got me thinking about the whole portion of our population that is in some way perhaps mobility limited. And it's such a cool solution for people for whom crawling around on the floor to plug something in is physically a challenge. And that's just, that's really cool. Do you know what I mean?
It is a great solution. Like I said, I guarantee everyone listening has this problem. I myself, looking over there between my two-channel audio system and my bed, which is way too close to my bed, have several power strips over there. Every night I have to go reach over, plug in my phone, and I just have cords kind of dangling by a little mock table because I don't have my rack set up over it in the corner. They're kind of separate from each other. But I have a little, cheapy power strip. Shouldn't tell the AV world that because I have more professional ones, on a rack. But by my bed, I don't have that kind of scenario. It's just a little power strip that goes kind of plugs behind the bed, and it's only long enough to kind of like reach around the corner and have to lean over, plug my phone in, plug this in, plug in another little power strip, and charging block. It's ridiculous. And every night, that's okay. I got to plug my phone in. Got to reach over. The cord's not long enough, and it kind of hangs. It's a nightmare. I don't like dealing with it. I don't have a big home where I can have a little table set up for that. But that's the scenario. And if I need to get to it, and if it falls off, I have to crawl down there, underneath some amps and stuff and try and get it. And it's just cumbersome to say the least. And it's not my favorite scenario. But there really hadn't been no solution until now.
I feel you, man. So, look, everything you just described is such a pervasive and persistent pain point for people who are living their lives in this increasingly mobile and connected world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the clutter, it's the crawl. And here's one other thing. The cord to my phone is 42 inches long, which means even if it is plugged into a power strip that I can somewhat get to, the cord's not long enough for me to, hang out on my phone while it's plugged in a lot of the time.
Right.
And look, there's other devices, there's other technologies that are coming along. Wireless charging, I think, is going to play a role. But there's two things with wireless charging. One, the wireless charger needs to be plugged in too, right? And also, fast charge with wireless is a long way away. And of course, you cannot charge your device while you're on it if you're using wireless. It's got to be sitting on the inductive charger. So I think, certainly for the foreseeable future, I think this is an interesting and novel approach to a pretty pervasive problem, as you said. And just full disclosure, all the pictures of like the cord clutter and mess that are on the video and the Kickstarter page, all that, that's all real life from like my home and other team members' homes. None of that is staged at all, except possibly for having vacuumed before we actually shot any of the footage or photos. But that's all real stuff. And people who see it like you are like, wow, that you should see mine. And, I'd love to do a contest, right? Like, show me your clutter, and really do a huge collage of the way that people are solving for this stuff. I'm embarrassed to describe the solutions that I've come up with.
I see a good contest for your Instagram page. Show me your clutter.
I like it.
Now, let's talk about the product itself. You mentioned Kickstarter. So if I go to Kickstarter and look up the Volt Tower, right? It's Volt Tower, the power strip all others look up to. Looks like you have about 42 days left on the Kickstarter, and once that is it's all backed and up and ready to go, what's the business model? I mean, are you planning to go into production and obviously, you know, send products to your backers, but beyond that, are you looking to sell via distribution? Is that something you can share? Is it just going to buy through above.com, or how are you looking to put your product out there?
So I'm happy to talk about it. And I'll tell you, it's a little bit early to say any of this definitively, but sure. I can tell you what we're thinking.
Okay. Right?
So let me just start by saying that we went on Kickstarter with the genuine aspiration of actually crowdfunding the capital we need to go from prototype, which is where we are now, into production.
Okay.
We have an intentionally ambitious goal of almost $200,000. Our goal is $188,888, which, as an aside for your listeners, a little bit of positive affirmation on the team's part. So if you take all those eights, so 188, 888, and lay them on their side, it's five infinity symbols in a row. So that's where that came from.
Okay.
So the worst possible outcome for us would to have been to go on Kickstarter with a much lower goal that would ostensibly have been much easier to hit. Sure. But come away from that with a successfully funded campaign, but without the adequate capital to actually go into production.
Right.
That'd be a horrible outcome.
Right.
So the team and I talked extensively about this, and we said, look, let's take a run at it, and if we are successful, awesome. If not, this idea has – we have 16 more years to get this right because we have the patents on it. This is not our last shot. It's barely our first shot at it. So we have an aggressive goal. We're about 15% of the way there. The KPIs look amazing. We're running it at like almost an 8% conversion rate on page views, which means almost 8% of people who visit our page end up making a pledge. That's like off the charts, like 4x what most campaigns consider solid. We don't have as much awareness yet as we would like, but we are continuing to work every day to help build awareness, not only for the product and the campaign, but the idea, and bring in, evangelist supporters every day. So the goal, right, is for the Kickstarter is to get us the capital that we need to actually move into production. And in terms of a longer plan, certainly we aspire to have our products in both traditional online and brick and mortar retail. You know, our target outlets would not surprise anybody. And we will also hopefully be able to sell through our own website direct to consumers. We also envision a really strong B2B presence, selling to furniture OEMs potentially, but more importantly, offices, hotels, healthcare facilities, an education sector business, a government business, etc. And then we also have every intention of doing the development and design work to introduce international versions of the product as well. In fact, we've gotten, 40 or so completely unsolicited inquiries about when we're going to have the international versions ready just through the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And in fact, almost 10% of the people who've backed our project on Kickstarter have pledged at this reward level we created called the Global Demander. So in essence, they voted with their wallet. You know, they actually took the time to make a pledge to say, hey, dude, this is cool. We totally love it. And by the way, here's a couple of bucks. Let us know when I can get mine for, you know, France or Germany or UK or Australia or, you know.
The rest of the world, not only
so it's been very exciting.
Right.
And then the one other bit I'd share with you, and this is getting way out ahead of my skis here, but in addition to commercializing this particular product, we actually see opportunity for other versions of this particular product,
sure.
Whether it be increasing the robustness of the power supply in terms of number of ports or outlets, adding things like power conditioning for, in particular, folks like your listeners.
Right.
Also making perhaps a shorter version for people who maybe have shorter nightstands, or a taller version for people who have stand-up desks. So there's lots of things that we could do just with this core product. And then the other thing we're very open to is partnering with other leaders in particular, the power and conditioning space, because as cool as our product is, we think that there's actually even more opportunity for the idea as a container for other people's amazing stuff, right? And
right.
And we look forward to exploring the possibility of partnerships and relationships like that with other really strong players in the space.
Yeah, I was going to say, it would be using your device as the container, and if, I mean, because I obviously I can't see what's in the rest of it. I see at the base, I see the extension module, but if there's space, it would be nice, if it's a possibility, to partner with other people in the power conditioning space. Panamax, Furman, Surgex, players like that doing that as a box solution that are rack-mounted to use their technologies and, again, using your above power or the Volt Tower as the container to provide that same sort of surge suppression or power conditioning, if you will, in your device as a licensing or something like that.
And so totally, we're completely open and very excited about the possibility of conversations. And you mentioned Panamax, Furman, clearly Monster would be another one we'd be keen to have chats with. And as an aside, there's obviously the power and surge and conditioning aspect to the device itself. There's another one, which is what you could think of as kind of signal or, you know, whether it be audio or video, signal input bridging.
Yeah.
So another cord clutter problem that a lot of people have is the fact that if I want to plug this device into that device, I have to, you know, figure out where the HDMI cable plugs into on the back of the thing or whatever. And on the pro audio side, obviously, there's a lot of, you know, cabling and bridging that goes on. And it, we can see a really strong application both on the sort of the home AV side as well as the pro AV side of taking, again, this container, right, and devising really compelling input bridging that could add, in addition to the quality of the power surge cabling, et cetera, another level of convenience for consumers and pro users that isn't available today. Again, just by thinking outside of the box as to how this container could actually help with that. And you know, the patent actually includes not just electrical and surge. Well, it's not just electricity, but it's also any electronic signal, inclusive of AV or whatever it might be.
And that's what I was kind of suggesting earlier as a modular piece, if you will, right? And obviously, power is the main concept here in the Volt Tower. But if you were to take that same concept, like you said, you know, video and audio signals in the same method delivery, why wouldn't you be able to do that? Or maybe that's just a different version, you know, the instead of the Volt Tower, you know, it's the, who knows, the audio video tower or something like that. I think there's a lot of methods that this can be applied to, and you're starting off really well.
You are very kind to say that, sir. We couldn't be more excited. And again, you know, evidence my background, I've never done anything like this before, but it's one of those things where I wake up every morning and I'm never unsure of the mission, right? I'm never unsure of the idea of the merits of what we're trying to do. You may have seen the tagline for us as a company, to the extent I might be so bold as to call it a company yet. The tagline is Power Solutions Elevated. And that's not just a literal idea. It's an aspirational idea. It's a metaphorical mission, an animating purpose, if you will. We're not just out there trying to make another product. We're trying to think, how can we make people's lives better by taking this portion of our world, of our lives, that we're so connected to, both literally and emotionally, and make it easier and more convenient and more intrinsically satisfying for people to work with it? That's a really exciting thing to wake up and think about every day. So you're very, very kind, Johnny, to suggest that we are onto something and off to a compelling and strong start. That's very, very heartening for both myself and the team as well.
I'm glad to say, because I feel that you are creating a solution for a very big problem we've had for many years. And again, until now, there really hasn't been a way to kind of get around, well, I'm just going to climb down there and find my phone plug and plug it back in, or how it didn't exist. And now it we're almost there. You're so close. And you guys have really come up with something that's great. I really hope that this goes well. And I do see more variations of it. I mean, at least now, the Voltar being number one. I think I really hope it does well. I hope you guys do well. And I want to see this. I want to see more of it. I want to see new variations of it. Because, again, the container aspect, it does solve a lot of problems for other methods, whether that's other signals of audio or video or just standalone power. It does solve some problems.
You are very... So one other comparison I would make for your listeners about this particular idea. So back in 1997, 1998, I was living down in Florida with my then fiance, and we had Earthlink dial-up internet, and it was like $8.99 a month, and the cable company was offering broadband internet for, I think it was $39 a month at the time, and I could not conceive of paying almost five times as much for broadband as I was paying for dial-up. It just was beyond my ability to comprehend until I had it. Until I had it. And that box that was a thing that sat on my desk that I would turn on occasionally and dial in on a 56K baud rate modem, whatever, turned into a device that became a permanent and instant portal to the world in a way that I just couldn't even imagine. Do you know what I mean? And I think that this idea is somewhat similar to that. Again, perhaps a bit pretentious and grandiose, but we are so accustomed to the 56K baud rate modem that is our power strip on the floor that we've not even begun to anticipate or contemplate a different reality for that thing, right? And I think this idea, whether it's this manifestation or this embodiment of the product or some future one, is like that. I think it has the potential to really transform how we interact with power supply in a way that over the 50-year history of the power strip, it's not been reimagined in this way. And that's there's a huge curve to get people to like change their orientation. But I think once we start to see people open their minds to this new approach to the solution, I think a lot of people are gonna be like, wait, how did I not have that?
Right. It might, like I said, might take a little bit just to get it out there. But once it is out there, it's gonna be like, well, why wouldn't I have that?
Yep. That's the hope.
Okay, so for anyone listening out there, what would be the best method for them to reach out to learn more either about you, the company, or where to purchase or back your product on Kickstarter? Where can we learn more?
So the easiest way to check us out and learn more would be to go to our website. It's www.abov. That's like above, as in from above, but without the E. And by the way, that's where it comes from, www.abov.com. And there you can actually see all about the company and our history and our partners. And also you can click through the Kickstarter link and it'll take you right to our Kickstarter page where there's a short video. It's about 3 minutes and 50 seconds. That'll tell you where the idea came from. It'll tell you all about it. It'll show you it and show you how people can use it. Obviously, tons of information on the Kickstarter page. And of course, if anybody wants to reach out to me directly, please feel free to email me either through the website or direct at info@abov.com.
If anyone out there is listening is in more of the social space, you want to head over to facebook.com. It's facebook.com/from above ABOV. And that'll take you to their Facebook page. Give them a like, check them out, follow them what they're doing there. If you get your information or media in 140 characters or less, it's just going to be at Above Power, ABOV Power on Twitter. You're more of a visual person. You can follow them on Instagram at Above Power Solutions. Again, no E there. Above Power Solutions. And maybe you want to be up to date on business offerings or learn more about the company. From the LinkedIn standpoint, it's going to be linkedin.com/company/aboveabov-power-solutions. And you can learn more about the company, the employees, connect with them, reach out, ask questions, whatever you're more comfortable with that are best for you. Those are your answers and solutions on the social media sphere, blogosphere, internets. If you want to scream at me on Twitter, 140 characters or less, should it still exist tomorrow, I'm at JMOTA3. Forgot my own name there for a minute. JMOTA3. Or should you want to communicate in longer format in the terms of an email, it's at JOHNNYMOTA3@gmail.com. That's JohnnyMOTA3@gmail.com. Or you probably just Google me, and I'm sure I'll pop up on any other social site like Instagram or Facebook or Google Plus, blah, 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 blah. I'm out there somewhere. Just don't follow me on Twitter because I am lost. So unless you want to learn about technology or whatever, I know a few things about stuff and things. Other than that, everyone, this has been AV Insider. Thank you so much, Dean, for your time, your information, your wealth of knowledge, and teaching me and sharing your information about the Voltower Above Power Solution. I'd love to have you back a little later in the year, maybe when there's more variations in this, or maybe when I have a physical Volt Tower next to my bed. I don't have to crawl on the floor anymore. I'd love to have you back.
That'd be awesome, Johnny. You have been incredibly fun to talk with, I'm grateful for the opportunity to help get the message out. Thank you.
Thank you. And everyone, again, this has been AV Insider, a show on the Rave Radio Network on Rave Publications, ravepubs.com. We will catch you on the next show. We'll be learning more about technology in this future that we live in, calling home. Again, thank you everyone for listening. This is Johnny Mota on AV Insider.